O for object and Odra deck. How did we arrive to objects within this creation, Animal Dances? I think it's got to do with the intuition around the terms animal on the one hand, and then animation and animism. Animism being a practice of objects that come alive in certain traditional cultures, because spirits inhabit these objects. Animation being more like magic tricks or puppeteering an object, bringing it to life in that sense. So that was a starting point to see if we relate to animals, how can we relate to objects, in what different ways, and do they perhaps also have a history within the theater, like magic clearly has. So that was an interest of Martin Nagba to work around this. The second term, Odra deck, brings in a more dramaturgical take on this issue. An Odra deck is a spool. It's an object that lives under a staircase and that occurs in a story by Franz Kafka called The Cares of a House Father, if I remember well. And Kafka is just intrigued by this object that is simply a life of its own, that sometimes turns up, sometimes not. And in the end, the curiosity for that object stays, also the indifference for it. So the story describes really well that object as an object in itself, that has a different language, a different life, a different way of being than ours, which we can relate to and yet totally not. So that's a very different position than the position of animism, where you have indeed this object which is blown life into. There is a philosopher, Jane Bennett, who wrote an influential book a few years ago, Vibrant Matter, where she tries to discuss, say, the politics of things and of objects that surround us. And she gives these two examples as extreme positions to then defend her own vital materialist position, so this vibrant matter, and what the difference is between the one and the other. Now, animism has a tradition, but she doesn't defend it, because you stay with an object that is blown life into and that can be taken apart again, which reminds her too much of a Western tradition, since René Descartes, of the mind-body split, as if you have a body that is blown life into by adding a mind to it and it can be separate again. So she's more for embodied meaning, for the object having already a meaning and a worth, a value in itself, as if this, the spirit or the meaning is embodied in the very object. So that's how she gets to Odra deck and starts discussing from there. Now, this whole idea that things have a life of their own in our environment is not only a philosophical issue. She makes it, she gives very pertinent and poignant examples of what she calls agents. So not only humans have agency, not only animals, but also plants, microbes, objects, but say amino acids, chemical processes, electricity, and so on. And then she goes so far as to discuss, for instance, the power failure in New York in 2003, where suddenly the whole electricity system that we thought we had kind of tamed and put to a highly instrumental use suddenly decides to put on a strike and say, no way, I pull my own plan, I have actually a life of my own beyond this instrumental approach of humans. And no one could explain it, how that happened. Or she gives the example of fat. She says, well, in American society, there's so many people that have a problem with obesitas. So fat in hamburgers, they're really an agent that has to be taken seriously, and so on. So she kind of wavers or commutes between highly philosophical arguments and then more concrete ones. So to go back briefly to the piece we're working on, I think all these options of relating to an object are present somehow in the Odra-like scene, where sometimes the objects stay by themselves, sometimes they're animated or puppeteered, and so on. They can become a costume or a prosthesis, or not quite. So this whole panoply of of relations is not mapped out, but is being worked with. So that's what sits in the background there.